Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Have you trouble thinking clearly, given, you know, everything that's going on, working from home and the kids running wild and tantrums? Let's throw that in there. And aimless scrolling on social media. It's almost impossible to get a moment to yourself. Well, my next guest, like I said, is one of the cleverest people we've ever had on the show. And he's here to tell us how to think clearly. It is philosopher and author Tom Chatfield. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. I just dropped my kids at school, so I'm starting to clear my mind.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we're going to talk about thinking clearly, but why should we make an effort to think clearly?
Well, I guess, you know, at a fundamental level, knowing what's going on inside our own heads, you know, clarifying what's important to us, what matters, what's worrying us. A lot of other stuff flows from that, especially in kind of troubled and busy times. If we're not sure, you know, what we're really worried about, what's really going on, what really matters, it's very hard to go through our daily lives with kind of any confidence or serenity, very hard to relate to other people in the way we might like to. It's partly about, you know, sort of being the best people we can be, being a good version of ourselves.
One of the things you do when trying to gather your thoughts or grapple with a tricky topic is you say, pretend you're explaining it to a child.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And it may sound like a daft thing to do, but I think anyone who's ever talked, you know, to a child about complex things would realize you can't take anything for granted. You can't, you know, say, because I say so, or because we've always done it. You're forced to examine your assumptions and sort of ask, well, okay, so why do I have to go to work? Why do I need to earn money? Why do I need to do this? Why do you need to go to bed now? And it can be really clarifying in the best sense, because it asks you to spend a little bit of time thinking about things you take for granted, and maybe getting a little clearer in your own head about your relationship with them. You know, do I have to work now? Am I enjoying my job? Is the balance in my life right? Do I really need to do this? You know, what's really going on here? It asks for a kind of time and attention that we don't always spend looking at the why underneath things. And that's really precious, actually.
Would you predict that a lot of people's anxiety is because they don't sit down with themselves and maybe ask themselves these very important questions?
I think all of us are under a great deal of pressure a lot of the time. We're busy people, we're doom scrolling, we're trying to get through our lives. And of course, I think people often feel that the alternative to this is something unachievable. It's kind of going off and sitting on a mountain or meditating or, you know, sort of stepping somehow outside their lives. And so what I believe is there's something really powerful and important about introducing small pauses into your daily life, about taking a few more moments. And often we feel we're not entitled to this. Mm. We feel we're not allowed it. We feel we can't have it. And one of the most powerful things we can do is develop the habit of these small everyday pauses of saying, you know, okay, I feel busy, I feel overwhelmed, but what matters most to me in this moment? What's really going on? What can I do about this? In what small ways can I push back against this kind of pressure and lack of control?
You recommend 3 steps. So is pausing more in your daily life one of them?
That's right. Yeah. And the reason I talk about pausing is that it's a small thing. Mm. It's not a big ask. We can introduce a 30-second pause. And especially if you look, you know, online, social media updates, the way we work and so on. In some ways, there's an enormous pressure to respond instantly with very, very intense emotions. And it's not good for us to be in that mode all the time. People need a variety of types and textures of time in their lives. So you take a pause and you just ask yourself the simple question, well, why? What's really going on inside me? You observe your own feelings in a kind of opening and questioning way. And then you maybe tease out some of the assumptions that are underlying what's going on. So, you know, why do I feel so bothered by this stuff on social media? Why am I getting so angry with my kids? Why am I so worried about this small thing? Why does the shopping stress me out? Why am I having trouble at work? You know, or why don't I feel happy? Or maybe why do I feel happy? These tiny little questions can help us to see we have more control over our thoughts and our lives than we think we do. that small adjustments to our habits, that small pauses, that they can take us into different places, because we can then say, well, okay, what really matters? Do I need to do this? Do I need to be on email the whole time, or can I set it aside for just half an hour? Do I need to do both of these things, or can I pause one? Do I actually hate my colleague or hate my job? Or is there something else going on?
Mm.
The more we tease these things out, the more we start to become comfortable with the kind of complexities and tensions of everyday life. And I think, of course, you know, we see on social media, don't we, that everybody wants to be loud and certain about everything all the time. But that's very oppressive, to feel that we have to have a kind of strong opinions or rebroadcast someone else's strong opinion. And so the last thing I always say to people is, it's a really positive thing to be comfortable with confessing to uncertainty.
Yes. Yes. So, God. Yeah. That makes complete sense to me. I mean, I've made a career out of having kind of an opinion and being swayed by listeners in 3 minutes. I mean, but it's okay to go, I don't know, or I'm not comfortable with this, I don't have the answers. That is so true, because everybody's so loud and they're very strong and these opinions, and you're completely wrong if you go up against them. But it, sometimes it's okay to say, look, I don't know how I feel about that for whatever reason. So when you say teasing out these things, you're effectively saying asking yourself questions all the time is very important. Okay.
And asking yourself open questions. I want to emphasize that. Not the kind of questions that Google can answer. You know, what's the capital of this country? How tall is this mountain? Open questions are questions we live with. What matters? What's going on? What's important to me? What do I like? What makes me feel good? And these open questions, we can ask them of ourselves and other people. And they are beautiful, positive things. And a lot of the, you know, information systems we use, we feel we're not entitled to these questions. You know, the least viral thing I can say in the world on social media is, I don't know what to think, it's complicated. I'm scared, I'm worried, I don't know what's going on. But it's a very powerful thing to say to another person. I don't know, what do you think? Mm. What's going on for you? I don't know this. Where can I find out a bit more? Life is complicated. And I just want to make this really important point, that clarity is not the same as simplicity. To see the world more clearly is to realize it's a complicated place, and that the pretense of simplicity is pretty toxic sometimes.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because if someone says, I'm right, you're wrong, I have a simple solution to this, I have a simple answer, these people are evil, this is bad, history teaches us one thing, we've got to be strong, we've got to fight or whatever. You know, these are not answers that actually clarify real lives in the real world. Mm-hmm. They take us away from reality into fantasy. They are a performance. And I think there may be very simple moral truths, there may be simple guiding principles of treating other people with compassion, of rejecting violence, of rejecting racism or prejudice, say. But as we know, turning clear principles into actions in the world is a negotiation, and it tends to begin with questions and respect. It doesn't begin with saying, therefore, do this, and anyone who disagrees is bad or evil or wrong.
How can thinking clearly? Okay, so these are the steps. Ask yourself these basic questions. Pause during your day. Just stop for a second and check in with yourself. So how can thinking clearly make a difference in our lives?
So I think it can make a very big, small, everyday difference. It can make us more comfortable with ourselves and the things we're struggling with. So let's take an example. It's been this pandemic. It's been terrible in all kinds of different ways for all kinds of different people. If you're like me, you may be feeling you've been a bad friend to some people, that you have let people down, that things are a mess, that you don't know what to do. And being clear about your own ambivalence and the complexity of this can help you embrace the fact that you can't take a kind of perfect action and fix it all. You can't arrive at certainty. I can't come up with the perfect thing to say to friends I haven't spoken to for a while, but I can reach out to them and say, look, you know, I've been a bit rubbish. Mm. I miss you. I don't quite know what to say. I miss hanging out. I can we meet up? Can we do something? And so actually, when I talk about clarity, it's not a kind of grand philosophical thing of coming up with clever, clever answers. It's pretty much the opposite. It's a form of honesty and self-reflection that allows us to talk about what's really going on to ourselves and other people. And then we can make kind of good stuff happen in our everyday lives. We can let go of perfection and certainty and embrace doing slightly better, kinder, more thoughtful, more compassionate, more helpful things, we can maybe fix some of our problems in small ways because we sort of let go of the notion that, you know, I've got to move house, I've got to change the world, I need more money, I've got to solve this, I've got to be famous, I've got to be popular. You know, we can let go of that kind of mad rush, that pressure, and start to be clear about the small everyday things that can help us and other people just get a bit more comfortable with this messy world that we're living in.
And you've distilled all this great advice into a book. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That's right. So I've written a book called How to Think, which is a very modest title, but it really reflects on the pandemic. It reflects on, I've written a lot of books, and it reflects on the fact that, you know, we live in a complicated world, but we can think about thinking. We can reflect on the way we think, the way we make our plans, the way we relate to others. And we can take a lot of small practical steps to do this more richly and successfully, to get in touch with what's really going on, to get better at talking together about what it means to think and live well. And this togetherness is the most important thing. You know, thinking, working out what's going on, it's a collective activity. We have to be open with others. We have to be able to ask these open questions that so often get shut down in social media. So if I have one piece of advice for listeners, you know, when you are disagreeing with someone, when your passions are raging, try and reach for a question. Why do you think that? What's going on for you? Why should I listen to you? What don't I know? Don't reach for an angry statement. Reach for an open question. Try and learn something new together.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much for talking to us today, Tom. That was philosopher and author Tom Chatfield, and his book, How to Think, is out now in all good bookshops. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.